Should a mother be able to abort her child when the father of the child wants to protect his child? Next on Gospel of Life, we'll talk about men and abortion. This is Reverend Frank Pavone, National Director of Gospel of Life Ministries. Welcome to our program. We're joined by Janet Morana, our Associate Director, and today we're going to talk to you about men and abortion. Janet, how are you today?
I'm fine.
This is an important area, isn't it? Because the abortion issue is often framed in terms of women's rights, and the question has to be raised, well, what about the father? Obviously, a woman cannot become pregnant without a man involved.
That's right. And, you know, we have to say, just like with the woman, we say you are a mother from the moment of conception or fertilization. Well, so you're a dad, too. There are two people who become parents at that moment.
Parenthood begins when the life of the child begins.
Which is at conception. And people don't realize that they may not acknowledge that that happens, but inside of them, even for men, there's a psychological thing that goes on from that very moment that that child is conceived.
A bond begins. Then and there. Exactly. And breaking that bond, which is what abortion does, always causes injury and harm and wounds. Mm-hmm. We've spoken many times on these programs about how it injures and harms the mother.
Right.
And we talk about post-abortion syndrome. Later in this program, we're going to hear directly from a father who lost his child by abortion and did it because he was very careless in something that he said to the child's mother. But many men suffer, don't they, because they have lost a child by abortion. And now we see more and more of them coming forward, don't we?
That's right. And you know what it is? Men really, with the abortion situation for them, the lost fatherhood, it takes into several things. First of all, some men encourage the girl to have the abortion. Because they just didn't want to have a financial responsibility. You know, having an abortion would be cheaper than having to pay child support. Some men, it wasn't that. They didn't even know that the woman was pregnant and she went off and had an abortion. They find out years later, and then it begins to impact on them. So there's also, you know, men have different viewpoints here, whether they knew or didn't know. And some of them actually forced the girl. They actually, you know, took her, forced her, paid for it, and said, that's it. I'm going to leave you if you don't have this abortion.
Well, we've seen a lot of that, haven't we, outside of abortion facilities throughout this nation.
Well,
we've
right.
stood out there praying and offering alternatives. We've seen women being dragged in by their boyfriends. You know, that's the irony, isn't it, of people saying that this is a woman's right to choose.
Right.
This is a woman's right not to choose. This is not about women's rights. This is about the rights of, in many cases, sexually predatory men to cover up their sin.
But see, what happens, though, with these men is, you know, maybe at the time they wanted the abortion or they encouraged or forced it. But years later, their lives sometimes are very different. They eventually find someone, marry them, and then have children. And then what comes back to haunt them is that missing child that was killed from abortion.
Let's talk about, before we get into the example that we have on tape here, let's talk about both the legal and the psychological framework here. First of all, legally, many of our viewers, I'm sure, do not realize that the law in this country does not give the father of an unborn child any say in the abortion decision.
That's right.
In other words, it puts it squarely in the hands of the mother, so that if a father comes to know that he has made a woman pregnant, and he wants to protect now what is just as much his child as it is hers.
That's right.
The law doesn't allow him
That's
to
right.
do so if that mother wants an abortion.
That's right. He can try to, and they've had cases where men have found out a girlfriend was going to have an abortion. They tried to bring a case to stop her, and they've lost.
Well, we even had a case in New Jersey where the father of an unborn child so much wanted to protect the life of that child that he went and physically blockaded the door of the abortion clinic.
Right.
And ultimately the court said, well, we know that this was a child. And we know that the abortion executed this child, but you still don't have the right to do what you did to try to protect it.
Yeah.
And
the ironic thing is, though, if if he, say, supported the woman to say, okay, have the child, and then during the pregnancy she said to him, you know what, we're really not ready to be parents, let's consider adoption. In order to put that child up for adoption, he would have to give his consent for the child to be adopted. Now, isn't that ironic that the laws in the country say he can't stop the girl from having an abortion, but he can almost stop her from giving up the child for adoption? He has rights there, in other words, if the child is going to be up for adoption.
Yes. Now, the other angle to this is that, well, of course, the Supreme Court in 1992, there was a case called Planned Parenthood versus Casey. And what was at issue there was not only the continuation of Roe v. Wade, because the court in that decision affirmed Roe v. Wade again, in other words, to keep abortion legal. But then there were a number of things that that decision was considering as to whether the states could put some reasonable regulations on abortion. And the court said yes to most of those provisions that were in Pennsylvania law. For example, parental notification. Parental notification and consent laws are in effect in one way or another in most states. And it makes sense that if a minor is going to get an abortion, that her parents should either be notified or should have to give their permission. After all, when you need a parent's permission to take an aspirin in school or to pierce your ears, having a serious procedure like abortion should also be have some parental involvement. But the provision of the Pennsylvania law that the Supreme Court struck down in that case was the spousal notification. And it said that the husband does not even have to be notified about the abortion. In fact, for a state to require that the father be notified, the court said, was unconstitutional. And this is something that is, again, it defies logic. Now, psychologically, it also does something else, doesn't it? Because the flip side of rights is responsibility. So if you're saying to the father of a child, you don't have any right to protect this child from being dismembered and torn apart by abortion, what message is he also getting? Isn't he also getting the message that, well, then if she wants to keep and raise the child, I don't have to be responsible?
That's right. And that's what's happened now in our society. Many men are skipping out on their financial responsibility to their born children. You know, once the child is born, they're saying, well, you know, the law of the land is saying I have no part in this, so why should I? Just because she wants to keep the child, I want to still check out.
Now, there's another dilemma that is created by this is the following. Let's say that the father finds out, right, all right, that he has made this young woman pregnant. And then she's ambivalent. She's not sure what to do regarding getting an abortion or bringing the child to birth. Here's the psychological dilemma that so many men are in. If on the one hand they say, I want to help you, I want to take care of this child, I want to support you, I want to be involved with this decision, and you know what, we can make this work, then that may be his natural instinct. And then at the same time, that could be interpreted as, well, you're interfering in the woman's choice. You know, the law has made the woman the one to make the choice. Why are you interfering with my freedom of choice? And so he might feel hesitant then to support or to express his willingness to support her and that child because of that criticism he might face. On the other hand, if he thinks, okay, well, then I'm not going to interfere with her choice, so I'll step back and I'll say, listen, you're not sure what to do? It's up to you. It's completely up to you, and I'm not going to pressure you one way or the other. How can that be interpreted by the mother? I'm not supporting you.
That's right.
I'm distant. I don't care. I'm disconnected. And then a vicious circle is created, because then she, feeling more alone and isolated, is more afraid to continue with the pregnancy and sees abortion more as the way to deal with it. So the man ends up being in an unfavorable position whichever way he goes.
That's right. So, I mean, I think, you know, that's what society has done right now. They've thrown it all on it's the women's right, and the guys feel like they don't have a part.
We have a couple of emails here from fathers. One of them says, are there any support groups specifically for men whose baby was aborted? And in fact, there are, which we'll refer to in a moment. But here's what he says. My ex-wife aborted my daughter without my knowledge, and I have been devastated since. Another one wrote in, My ex-fiancé chose to kill our first child so she could fit into the wedding dress. This just 2 days before our wedding. She had no clue why I wouldn't marry her after she told me that. She also said it was no big deal. We could just make another one to replace it.
See, that's a very important point. Very often, these couples, whether they're living together, you know, cohabitating, whatever, as soon as they have that abortion, the relationship usually ends up breaking up.
Yes, I know there was one study of 400 different men who had come to an abortion facility, and in 70% of the cases, after the abortion, the relationship broke up. You see, a lot of women are made to feel by the man, you have this abortion or else I'm leaving you. And then what happens is she has the abortion and he leaves.
Right.
We're going to hear an interview from someone who is a post-abortive father. Tell us about what we're going to see now.
Well, his name is David Wemhoff, and I've met him recently at an event. He offered to give his testimony. He couldn't be here with us in the studio, but he himself realized the damage of just cooperating like this in the abortion did to him. He eventually came to healing, and I think it's very important that we do listen to, in David's own words, he's basically magnifying a lot of the things we're saying right now, and then we'll come back and talk about some follow-up for our listeners.
About 20 years ago, I was living the lifestyle of the times. And the lifestyle of the times was to have sex outside of marriage, to have sex with whoever you wanted to, whenever you wanted to. It was a me-centered culture. It was a me-centered way of thinking. It was very hedonistic. You wanted to enjoy and have things. And I met Emma, and that's her pseudonym. And Emma and I immediately fell into a like of each other, a very great like. We were kind of crazy about each other. And one thing led to another, and so, of course, we ended up sleeping together. She was contracepting, and the contraception failed. And that often happens when you have cases of abortion. One night, she asked me a hypothetical question in our bedroom. She said, what would you do if I told you that I was pregnant? Well, my initial reaction was one of fear and shock, and, oh, boy, is this going to happen to me, and this is going to interfere with all my fun and being me and doing whatever I want to do. And so I said, well, I don't want you to have an abortion.
And you know something, you know, David, I work with so many people in the with the Silent More Awareness campaign, and with the women I work with, very often they say that's why they had the abortion, because they did not get the emotional support of the dad. And here you didn't even know she was pregnant. You thought this was just a hypothetical question, and you were thinking of my career because you're a lawyer and all that interference stuff.
That's exactly right. I saw pregnancy as an obstacle
right.
to personal happiness. Later that night, I asked her, I said, are you really pregnant? And she said, no. She said, just go back to sleep. Well, I didn't find out that we had lost our son until about a month later. And it was about 2 weeks before Christmas. And she told me on the phone. And she said, well, I words to the effect, well, I took care of the situation. I said, what do you mean? And she said, well, you know, we talked about it. And then the realization dawned on me that it was the loss of her son.
She was really pregnant.
She was really pregnant.
Yeah.
And so the realization came that I had lost my son. And I remember very clearly in my heart of hearts this accusatory, guilty call, if you will, that
right.
you are guilty, you are responsible
it's your
for
fault.
This. It's your fault.
Right. Now, right after, immediately after the revelation that she, you know, had the abortion, you lost your son, what happened to your relationship with Emma? Was it just as loving and flourishing and all that, or did something happen?
No, a lot happened. We struggled on for a pretty long time. We struggled on for about a year and a half after that, which is an extraordinarily long time, I've come to learn. But ultimately, the relationship did fail. And ultimately, we got to the point where she went her way, and she married someone, and I went my way, and I moved. What we found is we didn't know really what hit us, and we couldn't really talk about it. She would sometimes cry about it, and I would try to comfort her, but I didn't know how to comfort her. I would say these general things like, it's going to be okay, and I had no clue how she was hurting, and I had no clue how it had affected me. When we would try to bring it up in normal conversation, like you and I are having right now, it would usually end up one of two ways, either with a shouting match, or it would end up with somebody making a quick turn phrase and just trying to shift the emphasis away from that topic. So we never were really able to examine what happened and why it happened.
So now how did you get to the point where now I know you are speaking out about it, you're talking about lost fatherhood, you're trying to reach out to other men who are what we would call post-abortive. What helped you to get to this point?
It was a process. And I've got to tell you that what I experienced, I think, is very typical of men who lose their children this way. And that is, we go a very long time grieving in silence. We go a very long time covering up, denying what happened. But as Kevin Burke has said, with Rachel's Vineyard Ministries and Teresa Burke have said, a man is trying to seek wholeness or healing. At the same time, he's trying to cover this thing up. You got one foot on the gas and one foot on the brakes. And you can't do that. About 12 years after the abortion, where I felt very, very bad after losing Matthew, I felt very bad. And I contacted Emma. And I said, I apologize and I'm sorry. At the time, she said, I don't know what you're talking about. And so once again, I buried it again. But it started to, I couldn't bury it anymore. It started to come up about 4 years later. And I went to church, and in the pew, there was a small pamphlet to put your name in a Right to Life advertisement for January 22nd commemorating Roe v. Wade, and stand as a citizen of the community I lived in, which was South Bend, Indiana, and say, hey, we're against abortion. I said, hey, why not? I'm going to support that. I think it's a good cause. So I sent in the form. I sent in the $3 or $4, and I looked for my name. I said, wow, look at that. There's my name. And then I looked at the rest of the ad, and what struck me the most, there were two things that struck me about the ad. First of all, there was a picture of a woman who looked a lot like Emma. And that really was very powerful. And the second thing was the number. At the time, it was 35 million abortions. And when I saw that, I said, whoa, I'm not alone. I'm not alone. There's at least, 35 million other guys out there, and at least 70 million people total. So I'm not alone.
Have you participated in any kind of healing programs for post-abortive men?
Yes, I have. I've been fortunate to attend Rachel's Vineyard Retreat.
I have too, so I know the power of those retreats. They're wonderful.
They are powerful, aren't they? They're wonderful.
They are.
It gives you a comfortable setting with sympathetic and understanding people who really care about your situation, right. And you're able to examine what happened, talk about it, right. And release and let go of the little one.
Yeah, I know very often people think about this and they say, well, if I go back and to the church and I confess my sins, I know Jesus forgives me, but I know from talking to on the women's perspective, it still gnaws at them. And I think you're saying for the dads too, then they kind of feel like they need to talk to someone. And so these healing programs like Rachel's Vineyard or these other things out there, it kind of helps that wound to continue to heal, wouldn't you say?
I would agree. You know, the loss of a child through abortion is a death experience. It is repressed grief. It's a forbidden grief, as Teresa Burke has written in her book. And what you have to do is you have to face what happened, because we all participated in one way or another, those of us who've lost our children. We have to face what happened, and we have got to pull it out of its dark corner. And we may have to sit and talk with a very good friend about it for a long time, or write it down. I was recommended to sit down by a number of people, sit down and write down what happened. Mm-hmm. I sat down and wrote it down. I had a very good friend at the time. I was able to talk at length about what happened and remember a lot. Now, that's hard to do, but once you face it and you can see it for what it is, okay, you never lose it. It's never gone, but it's in its proper place in your life.
Yeah.
And you can be free and move on.
If you could talk to men for a minute who are out there who maybe a girlfriend might approach them with an unplanned pregnancy, what would you say to those men? What should they be how can they help not to have that reaction like Emma got from you?
Oh, they got to be supportive. You got to say, it's wonderful. That's good news. That's great. Let's go through this together, because that is our own flesh and blood, that little one.
Right. And so you would say, let's approach this difficult situation together, because it's, we weren't planning on this pregnancy, but let's work it out, which could even mean let's make an adoption plan if we both are too young or not able to be parents right now, right, wouldn't you say?
It could be. Yes, yeah. It could be adoption. It could be parenting. But it's certainly going to be the support,
right.
And it's going to be the joy of having a little one come into life. You know, that's the ultimate between two people, is if they're able to have children and they have children, that is the ultimate in their relationship.
Right. So we need the men to step up and be dads, basically, because they are a dad. From the moment of conception, they're already a dad, right?
We are dads from the moment of conception. And
that's right.
Now, the law may say otherwise and say it's a woman's choice, and that's what the Supreme Court has said.
Right.
But the viewpoint of the Supreme Court is a very radical viewpoint, and it's a very unnatural viewpoint, because children don't come about by one sex or the other, by one gender or the other. They come about by both joining together. And once you're a dad, you have a family. And it's a man's nature to protect and to provide, just like it's in a woman's nature, to nurture. And we're complementary, and that's a darn good thing.
Yeah. And for fathers out there who unfortunately assisted in that decision, what would you say to them? How would you help them to kind of break through their denial? Is there one or two quick things you could say to them to help them?
Yes. Guys, you're not alone. There is a proper place for what you felt, and there is healing. Have trust. Go out, and there are those who can help you, either through Rachel's Vineyard, Project Rachel, or any of a number of other post-abortion ministries.
It's a telling interview, and there are many, many men just like him all across our country. You know, one of the things I noticed from that interview, there really are no abstract hypothetical discussions, are they? And men
That's
have
right.
to understand this. He said something that he thought was talking in the abstract, and really it was saying to her, essentially, abort this child.
That's right. You know, very often, you know, like you just said, guys, girls will kind of ask them, you know, what if, the what if question, and be very careful. Don't think it's what if. Think this is really happening.
It's really happening, yes. Well, thanks, Janet. And brothers and sisters, stay tuned now for our action segment, because we want to reach out especially to you who are men, who are fathers, who have lost children by abortion. There's help for you. There's hope for you. You're not alone. And we want to assist you to get through this. There are many people in your circumstances. We want to help you to know what's available. So stay tuned now, and we'll talk about that. Meanwhile, let's all work and pray that these unborn children will be protected and that moms and dads never have to endure the tragic consequences of the violence of abortion. Stay with us. Welcome, my friends, to our action segment. Janet, let's help our viewers understand how they might reach out to men within their circle of influence who may have been harmed by abortion.
Well, first of all, they have to realize that some of these men don't realize they've been harmed. Things are going on in their lives, like we've seen on the show. And so, therefore, sometimes you have to provide a resource for them to kind of begin to put the thought in their head. And there is a good brochure we have to make available for them called Hidden Tears. And this brochure will go through some actual post-abortive dads. It'll give you some of their little testimonies. It'll give some counseling resources. And just generally open the door of thoughts in their mind that, hey, wait, maybe when I was younger, you know, I took my girlfriend from an abortion, maybe this has had an effect on my life in some way. And maybe I should examine that and begin to see. So we recommend that they order this brochure from us and make it available in your church vestibule. As people are coming into service, it's there. And you'll be surprised of the good this can do to help break through denial. Because like post-abortive women are in denial, the men are in denial too. They don't realize there's been a wound here.
It's good for each person to have some of these brochures on hand in their own home. Maybe the day will come when they're talking to a friend and may want to give the friend this brochure, or can bring it to Bible studies or other Christian gatherings where there could be people that could benefit from it.
That's right. And even have them on your person, you know, in your glove compartment in your car, or if you have your Bible that you take around with you, or your day timer. Again, you never know when the Lord's going to lead you to an opportunity that you can reach out and kind of open up the door to someone with this brochure.
And you know, there are a lot of men's ministries that provide a perfect opportunity for, let's say, someone who's coordinating those ministries to invite in a speaker about men and abortion. And people will know from this brochure the various ministries, as you mentioned, that are specifically geared towards helping men who have lost children from abortion. These ministries provide also speakers. Our friend Warren Williams, for example, is an excellent resource. Brad Mattis at the Life Issues Institute.
And Kevin Burke from Rachel's Vineyard.
Kevin Burke. There are many speakers, so we want people to know that if they have access to a men's ministry or if they run a men's ministry, even if it's a simple, small ministry in their church, that these speakers would be available to come.
And they could contact us at Gospel of Life, and we would do everything we can to put them in direct contact with these speakers.
As well as with individual counselors, too, would talk one-on-one with a man who needs this kind of help.
Right. Then the other thing is there's retreats available. I know we've talked about before, and people have heard of retreats for women suffering from an abortion, post-abortive women. But these same retreats are also open to men. I myself have been on the retreats when men have been there. And the release they feel and the healing power that they receive from the Lord Jesus on these retreats is overwhelming, the progress they make in their own spiritual journey. So I'd like to recommend that they have this brochure. It's about the Rachel's Vineyard retreats. It's called Retreats for Healing After Abortion. And again, you make this available in your vestibule of your church or in your literature rack. And again, you're opening the thought to some of your parishioners there that, hey, there is a retreat that I might want to attend. There's a website, rachelsvineyard.org, where you can get the retreat schedule of where these retreats are going on all over the country. Matter of fact, all over the world. They're international even. And so the help is available, but we have to let the people know who are suffering that it's there. Very often they don't realize.
It's especially important for pastors to know that this is the case, and we would invite our viewers to talk to their pastors about Rachel's Vineyard retreats, and perhaps even they can host one in their community, and we'd be willing to come in and train them how to do that. There is a phone number, 1-877-HOPE-FOR-ME. That's 1-877-HOPE-FOR-ME. To get information about not only the retreats, but also, again, individualized counseling if you have lost a child from abortion.
That's right. And people don't realize that if they are suffering, that they can call. That's considered a hotline number. And it's answered 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. So if you know someone who's really deeply troubled, please offer them that hotline number.
Thanks, Janet. And thank you, brothers and sisters, for joining us once again at Gospel of Life Ministries. This whole topic we've dealt with today about men and abortion is so important. We just want to pledge to you once again, we are available to you. Whether you're a pastor or whether you're one of those men suffering from this or whether you have a friend, never despair. Help is available. Hope is available. Be in contact with us at Gospel of Life, and let's together walk the road of healing and reconciliation with the Lord Jesus. God bless you always.
I'm Dr. Paul Shank, Executive Director of Gospel of Life Ministries. Father Frank Pavone, Janet Moran, and I want to personally invite you to be a strategic part of this new, exciting, and challenging work. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." The objective of Gospel of Life Ministries is to reach out to all Christians of all denominations and churches to bring them together in practical ways to proclaim the Gospel of Life and to build a culture of life. If you are a committed Christian, a pastor, Sunday school teacher, church leader, pro-life volunteer, if you have a burden to see believers cooperate together, we'd like to hear from you. To obtain our resources, contact us at Gospel of Life Ministries, P.O. Box 60038, Staten Island, New York, 10306. Call us at 718-980-4400 and visit us at www.gospeloflife.net.
My girlfriend actually had that abortion for me because I did what so many men do. I told her, "Well, I'll support you regardless of what your decision is. I'll support you." Well, I realized that if I said, "You know what, I love you and I want you to have our baby," she would not have had that abortion.